Hi, everybody, and welcome to the August 1st, 2018 Your Living Brand Live Show. It is a beautiful day, and I love having you here. You know, this show is all about what makes you unique, what makes you special. Why do people care about you? What's the story that you're telling that keeps people from thinking that you're just another commodity, that you're just another Me Too, that you're just one of many that they can get a price from? Well, my name's Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. What do? Well, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, I work with my clients to tell their story. I consult, I provide workshops, and I do keynotes on brand, message, market, vision, and value. It's about telling the story of what makes you special in a way that people want to listen to, understand, and engage with. Now, the show is all about companies and how they are unique. And every week I interview another person to find out what makes their business special, what makes them unique, what makes them different. And this week is no different. I have Lisa Dawson coming to you live from Vancouver. Now, what does she do? She works with law firms to be able to help them with the business of law. Now sit back, enjoy the interview, and I'll be back when we're done. Lisa, thank you very much for being on the show today. How are you?
Very good, Ben. Thanks. Thanks for having me here.
Excellent. Well, for those people who haven't been on the show before, let me just set the stage. What we do is we try to find out, what do you do? What's special? What's unique? What's interesting that you do that, you know, in a special way that you communicate to your customers, that they understand your value. They understand, you know, not only what you do, but why you do it and how it benefits them. So let's talk about LJD management. Yeah. I need a new tongue this morning. LJD management. Let's talk about what you do, who you do it for. Tell me your story. Tell me about the company and yourself.
Right. Okay. So LJD management is the name of the company. And essentially, I provide advisory service to law firm leaders who either know they have an issue or a concern or an improvement that they wish to make but don't know how to get there, or they really don't know what it is that they need and they need a look under the hood. I usually start my conversations with law firm leaders, whether they be sole practitioners or one of many partners, with the conversation, you know, what keeps you up at night? And what's
and on there's the always a lot, isn't there?
Yeah, and try and see if they can articulate what it is that's really important to them to either relieve themselves hands-on, move them away from the management of the day-to-day or the project or whatever it might be that they're with, it's keeping them up at night, or just how to get it resolved, whether it be right. Technology issues or people issues or profitability issues or compliance issues. You know, some firms have just called me up because they know that they've got a trust audit coming up. And for those of you that have ever encountered an audit of any kind, it's a bit daunting when you have the expert come in and start rifling through your accounts.
Absolutely.
So it's really trying to discern what it is that law firm leaders need. Sometimes it's one thing and it ends up being another. Mm-hmm. Sometimes their concern is a symptom. It's not exactly the problem. So, it's about chatting, getting to know, putting them at ease that my 23 years plus of law firm administrator experience, primarily in small firms.
Right.
And in small firms, that has allowed me to wear many, many hats. So I've got the finance profitability side under my belt. I've got the law society compliance and what's happening in the industry in terms of regulation top of mind. I've got law firm marketing and social media experience. And of course, most importantly, the people side, the human resources, from recruitment to termination and all their workflow in between. I have to say, with all the hats I wear, my strengths lie in operations.
Right.
And the workflow and what it takes to be more efficient, to be better at profitability, to keep the people happier that are your employees. And so that's really my strengths, the HR side. I've been doing it for over 23 years. And prior to that, I actually did have a previous life outside of the legal industry in hospitality management. So managing people for another 15 years prior to that is really where my human resources skills came from.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, lawyers, like most small business, I mean, we're talking the small to medium-sized businesses, they're experts in what they do. You know, they're lawyers. They, you know, they spend a lifetime learning about the law, talking about the law, educating themselves about the law. But when it comes to actually running a business, that's not what they do. That's not what their expertise is. And, you know, I'm sure like any other type of business, they can get in trouble very quickly for not understanding the things that they need to know to keep their business going. You know, as you said, it's the operation issues, it's the human resources issues, it's the law society issues. And I'm sure those things creep up every single day within the legal profession, as they do in other professions. And having somebody that can be there, that can help them, you know, on a consulting basis, adds real value.
And you know, Ben, one of the things that I think sets me apart that's more valuable to the law firm leaders, as I refer to the partners and the sole practitioners, is I leave tools behind. I leave my checklists. I leave, you know, whether it be informational sheets or instruction sheets, or I'm very hands-on. And so for that, it's not a prescribed philosophy that I'm chatting about or talking with the members of the firm. It's really practical application. And I think that's what sets me apart from others in my space. I mean, it's not unique to have individuals do what I do. Mm-hmm. But what I think is different is I do care for the law, legal industry and the offices that have so many dedicated people working so hard. Make their lives easier. I mean, that's the bottom line. Make their lives easier, and for the law firm owners, make it more profitable. I mean, every decision has that component to it.
Absolutely. And it's helping them succeed in the long term. Even, you know, once you've completed your task, once you've gone through the process and you've helped them do what they do, and you walk out the door and let them go on with their businesses, you gave them the tools that they succeeded. You haven't fished for them. You've taught them how to fish.
In fact, actually, in a current contract, I can relate the fact I wasn't looking for issues or problems, but by the way I move into a firm and do a business analysis and go through the operations, I find things by happen chance. And so I like to leave behind.
You trip over them, right?
Trip over them. and it's great, really. It's really satisfying being able to either work with something that is of a challenge to them, and you're finding a way to move them through to the next level, or alternatively find things by happen chance or just by the design that I move into the role when I come in operations. I have a methodology that I go through.
Right.
And if I do find something then that hasn't been discussed, then hey, all the better. But I think that these tools that I can leave law firms with help them go through, like I refer them to mostly checklists. Mm-hmm. It's not really as intense as an audit, but certainly it's a list of questions that I have to ask the firm, you know, how they set up their workflow for checks and balances, for security, to mitigate risk, and that kind of thing. I think that's what sets me apart.
So you have a checklist that when you walk into any client's list, any client's office, you have a series of checklists and say, okay, let's take a look at you operationally. Let's take a look at you from a human resources point of view. Let's take a look at you from a compliance, you know, standpoint. And you'll have checklists to say, have you done this? Have you done this? Have you done this? Have you done this? And I'm sure that probably opens up some uncomfortable conversations and some major holes at times.
Yes.
And the trick is how do you, you know, how do you mitigate that when you all of a sudden you were brought in to do one thing, and then all of a sudden you open up this can of worms that nobody was expecting actually existed?
Well, sometimes I just have to focus on what was the original intent. What brought me there in the first place, rather than saying, this is what I found. How do we go about it? So certainly the priorities for me are the priorities of the law firm leaders.
Sure.
Leaving them with a little fat to chew on doesn't hurt. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day, and not everything that comes out of the audit, if you will, or the checklist, not everything is tackled right then and there.
No.
Sometimes I've even been brought back, you know, 6 months or 8 months later when they see the implication of their workflow not leading to perhaps the best outcome. And we chat about it a little bit later down the road. Yeah.
I mean, so you can assess whether it's, you know, your brakes have failed versus, well, you know what, your turn signal, you know, it's a little sticky, but it's not a big deal. You know,
right.
Something you should address in the next couple of years, but don't, you know, it's not a 911 problem now. So you're able to help people prioritize, you know, where are the things that they should be focusing on.
Right. And, you know, particularly when it comes to lease agreements, being alive to the fact when things renew. And so perhaps sometimes it's a 5-year lease. So, hey, we've got some time to think about it.
Right.
So that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. If it's in your face, though, and you're battling it every day, you got to do something about it.
Absolutely. I mean, we all have those issues that all of a sudden we can't figure out, why are we having this problem? Why does it keep hitting us in the head? And sometimes it takes somebody from the outside looking in to sit there and say, oh, there's the pain point right there.
I think you just hit it on the nose there, because fresh eyes from outside, it is just does miles for all businesses to have just a third party take a look and see what's there. You know, so for me, I do work with a lot of other third parties. Mm-hmm. I'm not a technology specialist. I'm certainly not an accountant. But when I see something that isn't working, and I know what has been the resolve in other firms, I'll bring in an outside person, a third-party person.
Right. Yeah, and I think that that's the role of a good consultant, is to sit there and say, look, this is my expertise. This is not my expertise. Either I'll work with, you know, someone you're already using, or I have people within my Rolodex that we can bring in to work on this particular problem. And it's not having the fact that you have to own every single problem.
No.
You have to be aware of what the issue is. You have to be able to articulate it. But on the other hand, you may not have the expertise. In a lot of cases, none of us have the expertise to do it, but we know people who can, you know, who do have that expertise to be able to take that problem and, you know, and run with it. So there's some real value in that.
You know, it's something a light just went off. I recall in many of my contracts, one of the most interesting things is getting to know the people in the operation. And again, working in small law firms, which is my sweet spot, you'd be surprised at the knowledge and information that you can get just by interviewing everybody in the firm.
Absolutely. You
know, as law firm leaders, it's hard to be on the ground and know what's going on and who's suffering with what pain point, or who knows the answer to something, but doesn't have or hasn't thought about bringing it up to management or isn't in that committee, right?
Right.
So sometimes it's just talking to everybody to get the real dig on what the problem, what the core issues are, or better yet, the ideas. The ideas that come from collaboration is just amazing. And I think it's kudos to any business that promotes committees from within their own business to
absolutely
help problems. Yeah,
because I mean, I find that when, you know, especially when I go in and I consult, is that the more people I can talk to within the organization, the more open that conversation is, the more things you discover. Because nobody keeps all the information. Nobody has all the information at their fingertips. Sometimes the principal of the company thinks they do, but there's things that go on in the day-to-day workings, you know, the phone calls that get answered, the day-to-day stuff that people just deal with, and they don't tell other people. They just deal with them. And, you know, there could be major sticky points that these people know about, but they don't feel that they have to mention it. It says, oh, I'll just take care of it.
And but, even worse is when something's been allowed to be ignored for a long period of time, people don't bring it up anymore. They just live with it. Mm-hmm. Whether that be a technology glitch, whether that be a human relations issue, it doesn't really matter. That's the worst case scenario, because then you really don't know you have an issue. It's sort of underground and festering. And so for that, I would say that added to my checklists or incorporated into the kinds of things that I look at is that interviewing everybody within the firm to, you know, hey, what's the best part of this place? And, you know, what are your challenges?
What's the worst?
Yeah. So it's enlightening. I love it. There's, you know, it's never the same twice.
Yeah, because it's those little things that fester that cause companies to either go out of business or lose an enormous amount of money. Because they don't realize all of a sudden there's staff turnovers and people don't understand why there's staff turnovers, or there's, you know, files are not, you know, as profitable as they should be, or, you know, there's 100 different things that should be happening that aren't. And it can be just little minute things that if they could just be fixed could make the company extremely profitable or a lot more profitable. And, you know, those are the things that internal people, because they've just lived with it or they just ignore it, you know, they're not going to talk about it. So having somebody from the outside come in and say, well, wait a second, what about that? You know, that helps companies get better. And that's a real value. I can see that being a real value to provide.
Yeah, sometimes the issues are brought to light and literally numbered 1 to 10. And it's all about creating a plan around those. I don't necessarily have to stick around to be the implementation specialist. Right. Sometimes I'm the implementation specialist just in one area. But it doesn't really matter to me. I'm there to provide a service of just sort of getting people on track, if you will. Right. Even if they've got projects that have lapsed, bringing somebody in to initiate them, coordinate them, follow them through, be holden to deadlines, and make it happen. Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about around the issue, but let's talk about specifically to the issue. What are some key things that would cause businesses to want to call you? Like, what are the hurt points that companies would be facing and they would realize and they would sit there and go, something's not right. Okay. Better call Lisa.
Well, in this day and age, it doesn't matter what business you're in, you're trying to create a lean machine. Mm-hmm. So it's typically when everybody's busy and they know that they need to make an office move or renovation or a merger or an expansion or a rebranding or name any kind of change. Oh, let's not forget technology. Okay. Let's not forget new, you know, bringing in a document management system, moving to the cloud. How about a new telephone system? It doesn't matter what it is operationally. You don't have the bandwidth normally in a small law firm or small business to have that person, have someone with bandwidth in the firm to do that.
Yeah, because you can't do any of those things off the side of your desk.
So to your point in a nutshell, lack of bandwidth, not enough bench strength to pull off moving your Windows folder structure into a document management system. Mm-hmm. How to go paperless. You know, all the different projects, I would say, would be part and parcel of why I parachute in. I've done many recruiting efforts that have ended up being more than recruiting. They've been more to do with human resources management and setting up policies and procedures and working with individuals in the firm to improve retention. So sometimes it starts down one path, such as, lawyer succession planning.
Right.
That is often morphed into operations improvement so that the actual firm is in a better position 2 or 3 years down the road for the sole proprietor to consider transitioning away from.
Mm-hmm.
So it sometimes, like I say, it starts off as one thing, but it ends up as another. But I get my hands dirty. It doesn't matter what it is.
But you have fun doing it.
Have fun doing it, of course. Yeah, it's, I love collaborating with people, especially people who are interested in moving through their issues and moving through change, and they don't know what it is going to be like. They don't know what it's going to take, but they're appreciative of being able to get through it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I mean, you touched on one thing about, you know, standard operating procedures. Do you find that they're lacking in most companies?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in terms of articulating them, yes.
Yeah.
The standard operating procedures that are just, that's the way we've always done it. So that's our standard operating procedure.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's definitely the norm.
But you find that they're not, you know, codified in a lot of companies. Because I find that, you know, you bring in a new employee, you know, someone goes on mat leave for 6 months, someone, you know, there's been a, you know, an upheaval and they need to bring in temp staff or whatever. Mm-hmm. And chaos ensues because, you know, a lot of the knowledge in the company is between the earlobes of the person who's no longer there, whether that be for a day, a week, a month, or a year, you know. So it must be challenging to all of a sudden, you know, be in a position where, oh my God, how do we do this?
Absolutely. And actually there's never an end to that. There's never an end to those kinds of surprises when, you know, someone resigns or someone goes on mat leave. Hey, even a vacation of 3 weeks is a tough one.
Absolutely, that can cause all sorts of chaos if they're the only person in the company that does payroll.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden that person's gone for 3 weeks can create extreme chaos.
So much of my work is centered around mitigating risk,
right,
for businesses. And on the human side, those resources are valuable, and it's all about creating some sort of backup system. It's not mm-hmm. it's not telling your members that they're you know, dispensable. It's not. It's saying that we want to support you so that you can go away
mm-hmm.
For your vacation, for example, and come back and not have, you know, 250 emails to contend with.
Or 5,000.
Or 5,000, exactly. Yeah, I was actually being pretty conservative there. That's almost like
250 is going away for lunch.
Exactly. So true. So, really, that's just a simple example of a checklist item in terms of mitigating risk and figuring out what to do about it.
And so do you advocate a lot of cross-training?
Yes, absolutely. Do a lot of that. But in order to do that successfully, there has to be standardized practices.
Of course.
And that's really tough.
Yeah.
Because even with technology, using whether it be a document management system or a time billing system or, hey, even Outlook
mm-hmm.
For email, everybody uses it in a slightly different way.
Yes, they do.
So that's just something I've met with and I'm meeting with all the time, is how can we best create a uniform way of working here that allows individuals some flexibility, but allows the support staff to be able to be interchangeable,
yeah,
and cover each other. And it's not an easy, again, I don't work with cookie cutter solutions. I build.
Well, there's no such thing as a cookie cutter company.
Doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are some best practices and some from my experience, which got, again, over 23 years in this specific space. There's some, from my experience, toolkit, things that will lead me in one direction or another.
Right.
I'm always keeping the people atop of mind. What's the culture here all about? How can we make it work here?
And that's important, is the fact that companies are not cookie cutter. You know, you may have ideas of how changes need to progress within a company, but until you actually get into the company and you roll up your sleeves and see how they actually do business, you know, those perceptions can change, and they can change in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know, and every company has to be managed in the fact that, you know what, you're different from company X, who's different from company Y, who's company different from company Z, and each one has their own particular way of doing things. How do we help you and your people be as efficient as you can based on your culture, your brand, your philosophy, and the people that you have within the office?
Yeah, you know, I might be dating myself here, but it used
Well, you're only 25, right?
Yeah, that's right. Love it. Can I come back next week for more?
Absolutely.
What I was going to say is, I have to say, entering in this space 23 years ago in Vancouver, I mean, I'm talking a very small segment of the law firm community.
Right.
The demographics were really... very similar from firm to firm.
Sure.
And in the last 20 years, I'm telling you, it's busted wide open.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be, you know, that the partners would move on to their retirement golden years at 65. Some of them planned for 60 and couldn't wait.
Right.
Now you've got partners, you know, late
in their 80s.
Yes. And same, and employees that are from 21 to 71 under the same roof, and a broad spectrum of demographics in terms of cultural backgrounds and richness. And so the things that used to work a long time ago have really changed, and some of it for the better. And others just, it's sometimes it's just really difficult to get everybody on the same page because
absolutely.
Oh, somebody that's been working 30 years doing the same old, and you've got some newbies coming in saying, well, when can I do this? And really the plan is a bit more long-term for them to be doing one thing to learn it well. So, you've got a different, my clientele have changed dramatically.
It is probably more interesting because of that.
Yes. Yeah. No. It is. In like I say, in some ways, having a blend of demographics, meaning ages and ethnic groups, and just look about the women. We've got women lawyers now.
Oh, that, yeah, very powerful women lawyers these days.
And it really helps, in my opinion, from my experience, it helps provide the perspective that the firms need. Women in leadership. Really help provide a different perspective on the day-to-day, on the human element. And it's just the way it is.
Diverse. It's diversity in general. I mean, the more diverse a firm is, the more different thoughts and viewpoints and points of view that they're drawing from, the better that they can support their clientele.
Yeah. You
know, and I'm a firm believer, whether it's law firms, accounting firms, any type of company, the more diverse your board of directors is, the more diverse their viewpoints are, the better you can actually serve your actual audience. And I think there's truth to that.
Well, our audience as well, to that note, has changed as well. I mean, look
absolutely.
At Vancouver. So it behooves our firms to really promote a diverse group of individuals to better serve our clients, for sure.
Well, let me ask you one last question because we're running out of time.
Okay.
Now, when you walk out the door of a meeting and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about Lisa and LJD management when you're not in the room?
I would like to think that they've had a very authentic communication with me, that they feel... a good sense of trust and integrity in how I'm going about working with them, that I've left them with something that they didn't know before. I certainly always, regardless of whether I end up having a contract with a law firm or not, enjoy the conversation and always try and leave something on the table for them. So it's my passion. Maybe I'm a glutton for punishment, but It is the industry that I have the knowledge in, and I love to share it.
And so, that's great. You know, it's being able to add those little bits of value, you know, and always just sit there and be focused on the client. Because I think if you're focused on the client and focused on the client's needs, everybody wins.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's perfect. Hang out in the green room for a second, Lisa. You've been an absolutely wonderful guest. And I'm just going to say goodbye to everybody, and I'll be right back.
Great. Thank you, Ben.
Hope you found that as interesting as I did. Lisa is full of energy. She's wonderful. And she really works with her clients to understand what makes them different and helps provide unique solutions that are going to make them more efficient. Now, my name is Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. I'd love to work with you. I'd love to be the storyteller of your brand. I want to help you be unique. I want to help you be different. I want to help you engage your audience in a way that they listen to you, they understand you, and they want to do business with you. Now, I provide keynotes, workshops, and I also consult on brand message, market, vision, and value. Come find me. But every Wednesday at 10 o'clock on the West Coast, this is the YourLivingBrand.live show. Next week, come find us. We'll have another guest for you. Take care and have a great week.